Welcome back for another deep dive. This time, we're going to be tackling rebuilding Jerusalem. Not just like the physical walls and stuff, but the
Sure.
spirit of the people who
Yes.
returned after the exile and all that.
Yeah.
And our source for this is it's actually a session from a course
Okay.
that's taught by Dr. Tiberius Rada about the books of Ezra and Nehemiah.
Fascinating.
It is fascinating. And get this, there are some surprising parallels to like how we approach our lives today.
Oh, I'm intrigued.
You see what I mean as we kind of go through
I'm
this?
ready.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's quite a story.
Yeah.
Just imagine coming back to,
Right.
the city that you consider holy, the heart of your faith,
Yeah.
and it's just
It's in ruins.
in ruins.
Yeah.
It's not just some fixer-upper project.
No.
This
Both
is,
starting from scratch,
yeah, total scrap.
both physically and spiritually.
Whoa, okay. So let's unpack this a little.
Sure.
The session kind of jumps right into this guy, Nehemiah.
Who's like this super organized leader,
Right,
and
yeah.
he's assigning people like to guard the gates.
Yeah.
He's delegating like crazy.
She's a pro.
What's funny is that his brother, Hanani, the one who first told him about Jerusalem and how bad it was,
Right.
is now helping with the security.
Makes sense.
But is this like, is brother literal here, or is it more like a figure of speech?
Well, Dr. Rod points out that the text kind of leaves it open
Oh, really?
to interpretation, which is interesting
Yeah.
because it makes you wonder about their relationship.
Right.
But the more interesting point
Okay.
is that even though they had these newly built walls, Jerusalem was having trouble
Really?
attracting residents.
What?
It was practically a ghost town.
Wait, I would have thought
You'd think.
people would be rushing back, after all that time away.
Yeah.
What was going
Well,
on?
apparently a lot of people found life in the countryside,
Yay.
to be more stable. They could farm their land,
Yeah.
be relatively self-sufficient.
I see. So,
It makes sense, I
yeah.
guess, when you put it like that.
It makes you wonder, like, was there this uncertainty
Yeah, for sure.
about starting over in a city that, I mean,
No.
it was still vulnerable?
Definitely still vulnerable.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like an empty shell, right?
Any? Yeah.
Walls, but not that many people.
Yeah.
But what about the spiritual side of things?
Right. Well, this is where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
So in Nehemiah chapter 8,
Okay.
Ezra reads the law of Moses aloud to the entire community.
Everybody.
Yeah. And everyone, men and women,
Wow.
are standing there just totally absorbed.
Okay, so what's the big deal about like a public reading?
Right.
Like, weren't they already familiar with the law?
Well, Dr. Rada suggests that
Okay.
this might have been the first time
Oh, wow.
many of them had heard the entire law
Okay.
since they returned.
So they had been away. Remember, they had been away from Jerusalem,
Yeah.
away from the temple for generations.
Right.
And so their connection to their faith might have been based on
Like fragments.
fragments
It,
here
yeah,
and there.
stories passed down through families.
Right.
So this public reading was like
Like a reintroduction
a powerful act of reconnecting with their foundation,
to
their
theirs.
spiritual foundation,
Wow, yeah.
their shared identity.
That's huge.
Yeah.
It makes you think about how easily we can lose touch with our own foundations,
Right.
whatever those might be,
Absolutely.
like our values, a creative passion, even just habits that keep us grounded.
Yeah.
It's so easy to lose sight of that stuff.
It is. And this event also kind of raises questions about
Okay.
how their religious practices were evolving during this time.
Oh, interesting.
Without the temple as the central focus,
Right.
perhaps synagogues were becoming more important, offering this new way for people to connect with their faith. Fascinating. Okay, so Ezra reads the law.
Right.
Everyone's listening intently. But then it gets even more dramatic.
Oh.
So the Levites start explaining what was read,
Right.
and people start weeping.
Oh, wow.
What's with the tears?
That's the mystery.
Is it guilt?
I
Yeah.
mean, Dr. Rada doesn't give us a definite answer.
Okay.
Maybe it was a mixture of
I can
emotions.
see that.
Guilt for having strayed from the law,
Yeah.
relief at rediscovering it,
What?
and maybe even grief for
Right.
all they'd
For
lost
everything.
during the exile. Yeah.
Wow. So much emotion packed into one event.
It's incredible.
But then the leaders are like, don't be sad.
Right.
They remind them that the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Such a powerful statement.
It's like they're saying, okay, acknowledge the past,
Yeah.
but don't get stuck there. Your
Right.
strength comes from moving forward.
Exactly. It's all about finding that balance.
Yeah.
Between acknowledging the difficult emotions and choosing to focus on hope and strength.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, speaking of moving forward.
Okay.
In the next part of the lecture, things get a little bit more festive.
All right. How so?
So they stumble upon the instructions for the Feast of Booths.
Okay.
And they get super excited about celebrating it.
Interesting.
So what is this feast all about?
Okay. So the Feast of Booths was a way for the Israelites to remember their time wandering in the wilderness.
Okay.
After escaping slavery in Egypt,
right.
They would build these temporary shelters, booths.
Right. Like tents?
Yeah. Kind of like tents.
Okay.
And live in them for a week.
Wow.
Relying on God's provision. Just like their ancestors did.
So it was like a way to connect with their history.
Yeah.
With those core stories that shaped them.
Exactly.
And they hadn't been doing this.
It seems like they'd let the tradition kind of lapse.
During the exile.
Yeah, during the exile.
Yeah.
But rediscovering it in the law sparked this renewed sense of enthusiasm. Yeah, it's like they were saying, we're back in our land.
Yeah.
We're rebuilding our city. Let's reclaim this joyful part of our heritage.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Like they're taking all this hardship, all this upheaval, and they're choosing to celebrate their resilience, their ability to start new.
And what's particularly interesting
is
that this celebration comes right after this period of deep reflection.
Right.
And even repentance.
Wow.
It's like they're acknowledging their past mistakes.
Yeah.
Recommitting to their faith.
Right.
And then choosing to celebrate.
That's a new chapter.
That renewed relationship with God.
It's such a powerful sequence.
Isn't it?
Reflection, recommitment, and then joyful celebration.
Celebration.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder if we could benefit from a similar process.
I like that.
In our own lives.
Yeah.
But hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment to dive deeper into this whole Feast of Booths thing.
Sound good?
And what it might mean for us today. Looking forward to it.
Okay, we're back. Mm. And I'm still thinking about that whole rediscovering the Feast of Booths thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like getting so excited about it.
Right.
It seems like more than just like following instructions, you know?
Right. You're picking up on something that Dr. Wada emphasizes.
Okay.
Building these booths wasn't just a chore.
Right.
It was like a tangible.
Yeah.
Act of remembering.
Oh, I see.
Of connecting to their history.
Yeah.
He paints this picture of the city, like bustling with activity, people building booths on the rooftops.
Really?
In courtyards, even within the temple courts.
Wow.
It was like this.
That's a cool visual.
Collective effort.
Yeah.
To make up for lost time.
Right.
To fully embrace this tradition.
Which had almost been forgotten.
Right.
Wow. It's not just a holiday.
Right.
It's like this citywide building project with all this meaning infused in it.
Right. And what's fascinating is that it wasn't just about the outward ritual.
Oh, okay.
Dr. Rada argues that their enthusiasm was rooted in this deep desire to align their actions with, like, with God's will, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
They had heard the law, wrestled with its meaning, and now they were putting it into practice.
Literally. Wow. Literally. Yeah.
That makes me think about the phrase people of the book.
Right.
That Dr. Rada uses a lot.
Yeah, he does.
When talking about the Israelites.
Yeah.
Like, what does that actually mean?
What does that mean?
Beyond just like reading scriptures.
It's a great question.
Yeah.
I mean, it's about recognizing that their entire identity, their sense of purpose was like intertwined with their relationship to their sacred texts.
Right.
These weren't just stories or rules, right?
No, no.
They were the foundation of their worldview, their moral compass, their understanding of their place in the world, you know? So how does that apply to us today?
Good question.
Even if we don't, like, come from a strictly religious background.
Yeah. Do we have those texts?
Yeah. Do we?
I think we absolutely do.
You do. I do.
Okay. What do you mean?
Like, think about the books that have stayed with you.
Okay.
The ideas that have shaped your thinking.
Yeah.
The philosophies that you just resonate with.
Right. Deep down?
Deep down. Yeah. Maybe it's a poem that gave you a new perspective.
Okay.
Maybe it's a scientific theory.
Right.
That just, like, shifted your understanding of the universe.
Wow. Yeah.
Or even a piece of music.
Oh, yeah.
That evokes profound emotions.
Right.
That's a text.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. So we kind of have our own canon.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I like that.
Text.
That have shaped who we are.
Yeah, how we see the world.
Exactly.
And just like the Israelites, we have this responsibility, right?
Yes.
To not just passively
receiving them,
consume them, but to actively engage.
Right, like wrestle with them a little bit.
Wrestle with the meaning.
Yeah.
To let them challenge our assumptions.
Right.
To see how they can help us
navigate life.
Navigate the complexities of life.
Yes.
Yeah.
This reminds me of how the Levites were explaining the law.
Yes.
It wasn't enough to just hear the words.
Right.
It was about understanding it.
It was about unpacking the meaning.
Yeah.
You know, understanding how it applied to their lives.
And even within a single faith tradition, there can be so many different interpretations.
Absolutely.
That's why it's so important
to
have teachers, mentors, even friends.
To discuss it with.
To discuss these things with.
Yeah.
They can help us see things differently.
They can help us see new angles, challenge our biases.
Yeah, yeah.
Deepen our understanding.
So it's like this dynamic relationship with these texts, right?
It is.
Not just blind acceptance.
No.
It's about asking questions.
Right.
Debating interpretations. Even being willing to, like, change our minds.
It's huge. It's
huge.
This whole conversation is making me want to, like, dust off some of my old books.
Oh, yeah?
Reread them.
Which ones?
With fresh eyes, you know?
I love that.
I bet I'd see things differently.
I bet you would, too.
Yeah.
What's fascinating about revisiting those texts is that we often discover new insights as we ourselves grow and change.
Oh, that's true.
Right.
Yeah.
Our life experiences add this whole other layer of interpretation
to
your understanding.
Yeah. It's like one of those optical illusions.
Oh, yeah.
Where you see one image and then you shift your perspective a little and boom, there's a whole new image.
I love that analogy.
It just kind of pops out.
Yeah. And it really highlights this idea of lifelong learning, intellectual curiosity.
Right. Never stop learning.
Never stop seeking out new knowledge.
Yeah.
New perspectives, even from sources we think we already know.
Yeah.
Right.
Speaking of different perspectives.
Yeah.
Dr. Rada mentions how the Israelites reacted to hearing the law.
Yeah, how so?
Like, some were super happy, others not so much remorse, even though.
It's the same text.
Yeah.
Evoked this whole
spectrum
of emotions.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a crucial observation.
Right.
Because it reminds us that there's no one right way
to react,
to respond to powerful ideas.
Yeah, okay.
Some might be inspired.
Right.
Others might be challenged.
Yeah.
And others might just feel
all the things at once.
A mix, yeah.
Yeah.
But the key is to allow ourselves
to feel it,
to feel those emotions
yeah.
and process them in a healthy way.
Right. And to respect that others might have different reactions.
Absolutely.
Just because they see it differently doesn't mean they're wrong.
Exactly. Just like those Israelites gathered to hear the law.
Yeah.
We all come to these texts
with
our own unique experiences and perspectives.
Right.
What matters is that we approach them with an open mind, a willingness to learn, and a healthy dose of respect.
For sure.
For those who see things differently.
Okay, so we talked about engaging with these texts.
Yeah.
Whether it's ancient scriptures or, like you said, modern stuff that resonates with us.
Right.
How does this all connect back to
good question.
Rebuilding Jerusalem?
Right, like what's the takeaway for us today?
Yeah.
Well, if you think about it, rebuilding a city, a community, even our own lives, it requires a strong foundation.
Right.
And for the Israelites,
yeah.
That foundation was their faith.
Okay.
Their connection to God.
Uh-huh.
Expressed through their scriptures.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
It was about renewing their core values.
Their beliefs.
Using them as a blueprint.
Yeah.
For rebuilding.
I see.
And moving forward.
So it's not just about physical reconstruction.
No.
It's about
that inner foundation.
Yeah, that inner strength.
That gives us purpose.
Yeah.
And direction.
Right.
It makes you think about those Feast of Booths moments.
Yeah.
In our own lives.
In our own lives? What do you mean?
Those times when we rediscover something meaningful.
Okay.
That sparks positive change.
Yeah.
Maybe it's revisiting a childhood passion.
Okay.
Reconnecting with a long-lost friend.
Huh? Right.
Or just taking time for quiet reflection.
Yeah, those are good.
These moments can be powerful catalysts.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
It's like creating our own booth.
I like that.
Like metaphorical spaces where we can step away.
Step away from the business.
Yeah, from the craziness of life.
Yeah, reflect on what truly matters.
Yeah.
And reconnect with those sources.
Of strength.
Of strength, of inspiration.
Yeah,
right. And just like the Israelites.
Yeah.
We might find that those moments of reflection lead to a renewed sense of purpose.
Okay.
A desire to align our actions with our values.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately,
yeah,
a more joyful and fulfilling life.
Okay, that sounds great.
Yeah.
But let's be real for a sec.
Right.
Not every encounter with these texts is going to be a joyful celebration.
No, not at all.
Like the Feast of Booths,
that's
right?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's more like
confronting
a difficult truth that makes us like rethink everything.
I mean, that's true.
Yeah.
Growth often involves discomfort.
Yeah.
And engaging with challenging ideas
can be rough.
It can be unsettling.
Yeah.
But it's in those moments of wrestling with complexity that we often experience the most profound learning and transformation.
Yeah.
It's about embracing that tension.
Ooh, I like
between the familiar and the unknown.
Yeah.
Trusting that the process of questioning and exploring can lead us to a deeper understanding
of
ourselves and the world around us.
This makes me think about how the Israelites' return wasn't all, you know, sunshine and roses.
Yeah, but not at all.
They had internal conflicts, external threats, that daunting task of rebuilding a society.
From scratch, yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
It's messy.
It was a messy,
the complicated process.
Full of setbacks.
Full of setbacks.
Challenges.
But it's also a testament to the human spirit's resilience and capacity for renewal.
Yeah.
Even in the face of adversity.
Right.
They found ways to adapt.
To innovate.
To innovate.
Yeah.
And ultimately to create a thriving community.
And they did it by
grounding
themselves in their shared values, beliefs.
As expressed through those sacred texts.
It wasn't a magic solution.
No, but it gave them a framework.
Yeah.
A sense of purpose.
To navigate those challenges.
Right.
This whole deep dive is giving you so much to think about. Oh, good.
I'm starting to see these connections everywhere.
I love that.
Between like the ancient world
and
our lives today.
That's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
Exploring history and literature.
It's not just about facts.
It's not about memorizing facts.
You
it's about gaining insights into the human condition.
Yes. Exactly.
That are timeless and universal.
I couldn't agree more. We've covered a lot of ground today.
We have.
But there's still more to explore.
So
when we come back, we'll delve into the challenges and triumphs of rebuilding.
Okay.
And the lessons we can learn from this ancient story about resilience, leadership, and the power of purpose.
Sounds good.
All right. Welcome back to our deep dive into rebuilding Jerusalem.
Man, I'm really struck by how much we can learn from this, like, ancient story.
Right.
About facing challenges head on and finding the strength to, like, move forward.
Yeah, it's incredibly relevant, isn't it?
Yeah.
We've been talking about the importance of those texts, right?
Those guiding principles that help us rebuild
our
lives, our communities, even our sense of self.
Yeah, yeah.
And Dr. Rada's lecture really highlights how that process isn't always easy.
Right.
You know, it takes resilience, a willingness to face those obstacles, and sometimes even a little creative problem solving.
It's not just about having a blueprint,
Yeah.
It's about knowing how to adapt it.
Yeah.
To, like, the realities on the ground.
Absolutely.
Which for the Israelites were pretty complex.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
One of the things that Dr. Rada points out is that even after the walls were rebuilt.
Right.
The city itself was sparsely populated.
Right. We talked about that.
Yeah. People were hesitant to leave the security.
And familiarity.
The familiarity of the countryside.
Right.
To start over in a city that was, I mean.
Still vulnerable.
It was still vulnerable, yeah.
That makes sense, though.
It's yeah.
Like, even with the structure in place, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It takes more than that to really build a community.
It does.
It's that sense of safety, belonging, and opportunity.
Right. Exactly.
So how did Nehemiah approach this challenge?
Well, he was incredibly strategic.
Oh.
He didn't just issue decrees and expect people to just fall in line.
Right, right.
He understood that rebuilding a city wasn't just about bricks and mortar.
Oh.
It was about fostering a sense of shared purpose.
Hmm.
Creating a place where people felt valued.
Valued.
And empowered to contribute.
So he was more than just an administrator. He was a leader.
A true leader.
Yeah.
Yeah, and his example reminds us that effective leadership isn't about power.
Right.
It's about inspiring others.
Mm-hmm.
Creating a culture of trust and collaboration.
Collaboration, yeah.
It's recognizing that everyone has something to offer.
Yeah.
And finding ways to tap into that.
Collective.
That collective potential, yeah.
This makes me think about all the different ways that we're called to be rebuilders
uh-huh.
in our own lives.
Yeah.
Maybe it's our family, our work.
Our community.
Our communities, yeah. Like, yeah. What can we learn?
Yeah, what can we learn?
From Nehemiah's example.
What can we take away from this?
About how to lead.
How to lead.
And inspire.
Inspire others, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it's about finding ways to foster that sense of shared purpose.
Okay.
You know, to celebrate those small victories.
Yeah.
And to encourage those around us mm-hmm. to step into those leadership roles.
Right. To take ownership.
Exactly. It's about creating an environment
mm-hmm.
where people feel supported and empowered.
Right.
To use their unique skills.
Yeah.
And talents, you know.
This whole deep dive has been like so thought-provoking.
Yeah.
We started with ancient Jerusalem and we've somehow ended up like reflecting on how we rebuild our own lives.
I love that. It's amazing how these ancient stories can still offer us
such timeless wisdom.
Timeless wisdom, yeah.
That's the magic of it, isn't it?
It is.
We delve into these historical narratives.
Yeah.
We come face to face with these universal truths about...
About human nature.
Human nature, yeah.
About resilience, the power of shared purpose.
And that's so empowering.
Yeah, those insights can be so empowering.
Yeah, no matter what challenges we face.
Right, exactly.
So as we kind of wrap up here, exploring Nehemiah's story and all that,
yeah,
I'm left with a question for our listeners.
I like it.
What needs rebuilding in your own life?
Oh, that's good.
Maybe it's a personal goal.
Right.
A relationship that needs mending.
Mm.
Or even just a recommitment.
To those values.
To your values.
Yeah, guide you.
Yeah.
And what texts will you draw on?
Yeah.
For inspiration?
What will be your guide?
And guidance.
Maybe it's revisiting a favorite book.
Right.
Reconnecting with a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Or just taking time for quiet reflection.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
May this deep dive encourage you to embrace that rebuilding process.
Yes.
You know, brick by brick, verse by verse.
I love it.
With a renewed sense of purpose.
Yeah.
And a heart full of hope. That's beautiful.
Thanks.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on this journey. I hope you found some valuable insights along the way.
Me too.
We'll be back soon with another deep dive into a fascinating corner of history.
Can't wait.
And ideas. Until then, happy rebuilding.
Happy rebuilding.